Greet each all. Greet each one of you in Jesus' name. God bless you. It's good to be here together. Welcome to the service. Thank you for coming. Let's all kneel for prayer.
Yes, Lord, this morning we just thank you for the truth we've already heard from your word. Thank you for children's lesson, the opening, hearing about how great and mighty you are, and hearing about how to return good for evil. Lord, we've been fed this morning. We just pray you continue to feed us from your word as we open the Bible. Just pray you would give me the words to say this morning that we could all be blessed and edified together. Just pray, Lord, you'd take away distractions from us, that we could have open hearts, and that we would have good soil. Pray that we could take the stones out of our hearts and the thorns away. Soften up the hard soil, Lord. Oh, Lord, just pray you'd speak through me today. I know the words I speak are no good unless it comes from you. Oh, Lord, we just pray for the brothers elsewhere that are meeting. We pray for the persecuted brethren, pray for the ones that are the people that are in need across the world. Think of Joel and Esther and Darius and Haiti. You'd bless them, encourage, strengthen them today. And Timothy, Susan, the others over in Turkey, and whoever else I'm not thinking of right now. Pray that you would bless our day and encourage us with your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, man. That last song reminded me of when Jesus was here on the earth and he was healing, that he made people perfectly whole. Amen. Perfectly whole. If you're perfectly whole, can't get any better. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd invite you to open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. There's a subject on my heart this morning that I've been pondering. I'd like to speak on. Speak some on a father's role of leadership. And it's not that I'm a very older man to speak on this, but it's something that's been on my heart. 1 Corinthians 11 starts out, "Be ye followers of me, even as also I am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, head of Christ is God." So us, how many fathers do we have this morning? Okay. And if you're a man, you have the potential to be a father someday. So this message is especially for us. A father's role of leadership. The head of the man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. So that is the order that God has ordained, that it's God, Christ, man, woman. And so we find ourselves in an interesting culture in America where, as a whole, this principle is really messed up in our culture where we live in. We have a lot of women taking the role of leadership and usurping authority over the man, and it's just causing a bunch of problems. Have you ever heard or maybe talked to someone who was interested in buying something, and he said, "Well, I'm going to have to ask the boss." You ever hear that? Or maybe, "Well, I'm going to have to consult with the old woman." Things like that. And I'm not saying it's wrong to ask your wife, but I'm just saying this kind of thing is not biblical, to have the woman being the boss. God has set up an orderly system, and if we fit in with His order, things work properly. And if we don't, there's going to be problems. My first point that I want to talk about is a lack of leadership causes problems. So I just want to start with a story in the book of Judges. If you want to turn back to Judges chapter 19. Judges 19 is a story of this man. We call him the Levite. And I'm not going to read the whole story, but I just want to get enough of a picture of this story and this individual and some of his lack of leadership, what I would call it. Okay, let's begin Judges chapter 19. I'm going to read part of the chapter. "And it came to pass in those days, when there was no king in Israel, that there was a certain Levite sojourning on the side of Mount Ephraim, who took him a concubine out of Bethlehem, Judah." As I was looking at a few maps this morning, in the back of my Bible, from the best that I could figure out, is this Levite, and he was of the tribe of Levi. He was God's chosen tribe from that tribe to minister to the Lord. So we could say he was a special individual that was supposed to be really seeking the Lord. You know, he was supposed to be serving God. And he went down here, it looked to be somewhere 20 to 30 miles away, and got himself a concubine. And that word means maybe a wife of lesser degree or something, like someone that's not quite as important as a regular wife. Okay. "And his concubine," verse 2, "played the whore against him and went away from him into her father's house in Bethlehem, Judah, and was there 4 whole months. And her husband arose and went after her to speak friendly unto her and to bring her again, having his servant with him and a couple of asses. And she brought him into her father's house. And when the father of the damsel saw him, he rejoiced to meet him. And his father-in-law, the damsel's father, retained him, and he abode with him 3 days. So they did eat and drink and lodged there. And it came to pass on the 4th day, when they arose early in the morning, that he rose up to depart. And the damsel's father said unto his son-in-law, Comfort thine heart with a morsel of bread, and afterward go your way. And they sat down and did eat and drink, both of them together. For the damsel's father had said unto the man, Be content, I pray thee, and tarry all night, and let thine heart be merry. And when the man rose up to depart, his father-in-law urged him. Therefore he lodged there again. And he arose early in the morning on the 5th day to depart. And the damsel's father said, Comfort thine heart, I pray thee, and tarry until afternoon. And they did eat, both of them. And when the man rose up to depart, he and his concubine and his servant, his father-in-law, the damsel's father, said unto him, Behold, now the day draweth toward evening. I pray you, tarry all night. Behold, the day grow to an end. Lodge here, that thine heart may be merry. Tomorrow, get you on your way. But the man would not tarry that night, but rose up and departed, and came over against Jebus, which is Jerusalem. Anyway, the story goes on here, and night was coming on them, and they're needing a place to stay. And he thought staying in a city of the children of Israel was safer than staying in Jerusalem, which was the Jebusites. It ends up, this whole thing was a huge disaster, and wicked men attack him, and his wife ends up getting killed, and you can read the story for yourself. But my point that I want to zero in on is, what caused his wife to run away in the first place? There was some underlying lack of character in this man. And as we see there, maybe I'm just seeing something in there that's just me, but when his father-in-law kept putting pressure on him to stay and take it easy, you know, he should have risen up as a leader and said, this is my family, we're going to go home. And so that's what stuck out to me about this story is this, it's important that we as fathers and leaders in our home give direction to our families and not just be pushed around with other people's thoughts and ideas. We need to hear from the Lord what He wants for us, and we need to chart a straight course. And one of the key phrases, or one of the key verses in Judges is, in those days was no king in Israel, and every man did that which is right in his own eyes. That is quite an enlightening verse when there's not leadership. Every man will do that which is right in his own eyes, which is a sad thing. So, lack of leadership equals problems. So, as I'm thinking about my own life, and I've been married now 9 years, and thinking about the times where I've had a lack of leadership and what problems that has caused, maybe I'm all busy and I don't feel like giving direction to my wife, and she wonders what she should do, and I just say, well, I don't care, just do whatever you want to. And that just doesn't turn out very good. You know, God wants us to rise up as men, as fathers, and take the time to give instruction, take the time to give leadership, and things just go so much better. Have any of you experienced any little bit of that? You don't have to raise your hand, but that's what I've experienced already. Sometimes when I was a young man, teenager, I thought, I just enjoy giving instructions to people. I just enjoy giving direction. But when I got married, it's like, wow, it's a different story. You just pray that the Lord will help you, and He does. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, getting back to our story, where did this whole bad story begin? Didn't it start with who was supposed to be the leader in the home? The Levite. And if you read the whole story for yourself, it ends up in a severe battle between the children of Israel and Benjamin, where within 3 days, 65,000 people lost their lives. 65,000 died, we could say, because of a lack of leadership. That's something I'm gathering from the story. It's not saying that that's the complete picture, but what I'm trying to bring out is when there is a lack of leadership, there's casualties. There are problems that we can't even imagine. When we as brothers, as husbands, don't take up that responsibility like we should. 65,000 people That's close to twice the population of Holmes County, if I have that right. Somewhere in that ballpark. That many people losing their lives because of lack of leadership. This Levite should have led the way. He should have given direction. Okay. Now I want to go to our next point. Godly leadership brings blessing. Now, as you think about a leader, there's been many different kinds of leaders across the world. Some leaders are like dictators. Hitler was a very bad leader. If I have that right, he even killed his own mother. Is that right? But he was such a bad leader and filled with the devil. And I'm not talking about that kind of leader. I'm talking about a leader that learns from Jesus how to lead. Someone who is a Christ-like leader. That's why I put down there godly leadership. Brings blessing. We need fathers and husbands who will rise up and lead out in their homes, leading like Jesus taught with servant leadership. Jesus taught us not to lord it over our subjects, but to lead by example. Lay your life down for those who you're in charge of. That's the godly leadership I'm talking about, is to lead by laying your life down. Be the servant. Bend over backwards to serve those that God has placed you over. Serve your family. Maybe it means losing sleep. Maybe it means skipping out on some privileges or going away, or you name it. Lead with a servant's heart, and it will bring blessing. Compare this Levite and his disaster with Abraham, of whom God said, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the ways of the Lord to do judgment, justice and judgment." Why don't you turn back to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22 gives us the story of Abraham and Isaac. What a beautiful picture of a father-son relationship, where a father is hearing from the Lord and giving direction to his family. And his children following. Now, does anyone in this room have an idea how old Isaac was when he was offered on the altar? Anyone want to make a guess?
I heard possibly 30.
Most of us would not call him a lad anymore. We knew how old he was. There's some history I've heard of that says he was 37 years old when his father laid him on the altar. How many 37-year-olds are that given up to the will of their father? Wow, challenging for me. We need men of God who will stand up for what's right in our generation. Let's read some in Genesis 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Behold, here I am." And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went, both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went, both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. What a blessing. Abraham heard from the Lord. He moved forward with leadership. And God provided the way. If I could speak to all the sons here today, if you can have that kind of a heart toward your father. Here am I. That'd be such a blessing. Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul, mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God, the church for you doth wait, her strength unequal to her task. Rise up and make her great. Lift high the cross of Christ. Verse 3. Rise up, O men of God. His kingdom tarries long. Bring in the day of brotherhood and end the night of wrong. Verse 4. Lift high the cross of Christ. Tread where his feet have trod. As brothers of the Son of Man, rise up, O men of God. Ephesians 6 says, And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. God's will is for us to give direction to our families. Give clear direction. Be the leaders He's called us to. I have a few little things I want to read. Here's something called A Little Fellow Follows Me. A careful man I ought to be, a little fellow follows me. I do not dare to go astray, for fear he'll go the selfsame way. Not once can I escape his eyes. Whate'er he sees me do, he tries. Like me, he says he's going to be, that little fellow who follows me. He thinks that I'm good and fine, believes in every word of mine. The base in me he must not see, that little fellow who follows me. I must remember as I go, through summer sun and winter snow, I'm building for the years to be, the little fellow who follows me. Challenging to me, four little boys, they want to do everything I do. Let's keep that in mind, brothers. Amen? Amen? Let's be the leaders God has called us to be. You don't have to wonder if God's called you. He has called you. He has called each one of you brothers with a family to be the leader in the family. He's not waiting on your wife to try to encourage you. He's waiting on you to step forward. Amen. If there's problems in the home, the buck stops here. Amen. If there's problems in the home, right here. Don't blame it on anyone else. Take up the responsibility God has given you. Another little thing here I want to read. There are little eyes upon you, and they're watching night and day. There are little ears that quickly take in every word you say. There are little hands all eager to do everything you do. And a little boy's who's dreaming of the day he'll be like you. You're the little fellow's idol. You're the wisest of the wise. In his little mind about you, no suspicions ever rise. He believes in you devoutly, holds that all you say and do, he will say and do in your way when he's grown up like you. There's a wide-eyed little fellow who believes you're always right, and his eyes are always open, and he watches day and night. You are setting an example every day in all you do for the little boy who's waiting to grow up to be just like you. Wow, what a challenge. May the Lord help us every day. Lord, help me to be a leader. Here's an example that I read about. It's called Like as a Father. This, as leaders, it's important that we don't let stuff slip in our families. You know, we need to mete out right judgment to our children if there is problems. And here's a father that believed in that. Story goes, Dr. S.D. Gordon tells of what he calls the best picture I ever saw of God. He says it was a man, a minister, who lived in a New England town and who had a son about 14 years of age attending school. One afternoon, the boy's teacher stopped and at the home and asked for the father and said to him, "Is your boy sick?" "No, why?" "He was not at school today or yesterday or the day before." "Well, and I supposed he was sick." "No, he was not sick." "Well, I thought I should tell you." And the father said, "Thank you," and the teacher left. The father was sitting thinking when by and by he heard a click at the gate and he knew the boy was coming, so he went to open the door. And the boy knew as he looked up that his father knew all about those 3 days that he was gone. The father said, "Come into the library here." And Phil was the boy's name. Phil went in and the door was shut. The father said, "Phil, your teacher was here this afternoon. He tells me you were not at school today, nor yesterday, nor the day before. And we are supposed we thought you were. You let us think you were. You do not know how badly I feel. I have always trusted you. I have always said I can trust my boy here. And here you've been living a lie for 3 whole days. I can't tell you how badly I feel about it." Phil felt badly too. After a pause, the father said, "Phil, we'll need to get down and pray." The very thing Phil did not want to do. But they got down and the father poured out his heart in prayer. And Phil saw himself on his knees as he never had seen himself before.
When they got up from their knees, the father said, "My boy, there is a law of life that where there is sin, there is suffering. You can't detach these two things." Now, he went on, "You have done wrong, and I'm in this home, like God in the world. So we will do this. You will go up to the attic. I'll make a place for you up there, and we'll take your meals up to you at the regular times, and you will stay up there as long as you have been living a lie, 3 days and three nights." They went upstairs. The pallet was made, and the father kissed his boy and left him alone. The evening supper time came. Although they sat at the table, they did not eat. The custom hour for going to bed came. The clock struck 10, 11, then 12. At last, they locked up the house and went to bed, but neither of them could sleep. The clock struck 1 and then 2. And then the father said, "Mother, I can't take this any longer. I am going upstairs with Phil." He took his pillow and tiptoed across the attic floor, and there Phil lay wide awake. The father lay down, and they put their arms around each other's neck, and soon they slept. The next night, the father said, "Good night, mother. I'm going upstairs with Phil." And the third night, he slept in the place of punishment with his son. You are not surprised to know that that boy, a man grown, went out to tell the story of Jesus with tongue and life aflame in the heart of China. My, what a story. This father took up his role of leadership and did not let things slip, but yet he was willing to be like God, to have compassion on his son and show him how he cared. May the Lord help us to do that. The importance of us men being the head of our home and lead with the kind of leadership that Jesus taught us to have. let's turn now to our next point. We're going to talk about God, our Father. Perfect example. The heart of God for us, of His Father's heart, is perfect. He has this whole leadership thing perfect. He knows how to work with us wherever we're at in life. In Psalm 103, it says, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." Just like this father. He did not let this young boy slip when he disobeyed, but yet he took pity on him. The word father is found around 1,000 times in the Bible. Why don't you all turn to the book of John. John chapter 5. This talks about our Father. Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." God our Father, what a wonderful thing. John chapter 5, verse 19. "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do.
For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and he shall not pass and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful picture of our Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Jesus says, verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Praise God. What a blessing. Let's turn over now to John 14. Beautiful, comforting passage about God our Father. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. How many times do we face our heart feeling troubled? One thing that's interesting to me is how many times some of the first words Jesus said was, peace be unto you. Be not afraid. Fear not. When people, throughout his ministry, he came upon situations where people were afraid or troubled or whatever, and the first thing he said was, peace be unto you. Be not afraid. Those kind of things. Let not your heart be troubled. In these last days, when we see wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, floods, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The next verse says, "If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Verse 20, "At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." Wow, praise the Lord. What a picture. Jesus and the Father are one, and God is our Father. What a precious promise. God has called us to this Father's role of leadership, but we don't have to do it by ourselves. Praise God. He is with us, and he can help us to know how to give direction to our families, how to give leadership, how to lead our families in the way of the Lord. Closing here, I want to touch on in John 20, if you want to turn over there to John 20. Jesus has risen from the dead. Mary comes. She doesn't know yet. Verse 17, "Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Special verse. Jesus said, "Go to my brethren." He calls us his brothers. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? It's a privilege we're not worthy of. We are not worthy of that. But he does. "I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Jesus has made the way for us to be reunited with God, and he has made the way where we can be leaders in our homes. May the Lord bless you.